Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through his son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
Amen. The Tribe Abuja, can we celebrate Jesus this morning? Amen. Amen. I want you to just tell the person beside you, I'm so excited you're sitting beside me. I want you to tell your second choice, I'm so excited you're sitting beside me. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? How's April treating us so far? Good? You're not suffering. What did you say? You're not hungry, but you're hungry for Jesus. Amen. Come on. Come on, Jesse. Hallelujah. Okay, so today we're going to be doing something. It's not a series. It's just something I believe the Lord has been laying in my heart. And I just want to share something I believe the Lord is calling us to at the Tribe. Father, I pray that you speak to me and through me this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remember at the beginning of the year, we did a series called Ambitions. And it was inspired by Paul's, as Paul was rounding up his letter in chapter 15 of Romans, he said that I have made it my ambition to preach Christ where Christ has not been named. Hallelujah. So I said that I believe the Lord is calling us, the tribe, as much as he's calling us to the body. I believe we have like a dual calling here to minister to the body of Christ, which is every church. But I believe that particularly we as well, God has called us to go into spaces, into the wild, into spaces that people have not yet gone. Amen. Often people define evangelism, some people's definition of evangelism is just to carry another Christian to their church. But that's not what evangelism is. What you're doing is church poaching. But that's what evangelism is. Evangelism is pronouncing and proclaiming the good news to those who have not yet heard the gospel. Amen. So I believe the Lord has called us to go into spaces. So we are very particular about where God is calling us to. So that's why we're interested about the North, about the gospel movement in the North. That's why we sponsor missionaries in the North. That's why we have our mission field in, we partner with another ministry that goes to prisons. We have our city outreaches. By the grace of God, we are doing one next week in partnership with another ministry. And there are things that are growing that we believe that God wants us to do. I'm trusting that we're able to reach some of these universities. The stories I'm hearing about some of them, you know, they are dealing with and things. So I'm just like, they need Jesus. What's happening? Is that judgment day? Okay. Okay. Who was in Boys Brigade here? Who was in Boys Brigade? Well, Ola Jepo. Okay. So I believe that God is calling us into spaces. I've been looking for the longest time if there's a rehab center in Abuja. I don't know if there's one, but I want us to go and, you know, tell people about this Jesus that we love and we believe. So it's my ambition to, and I believe I'm extending it to the house, it's my calling to preach Christ to people who don't know him yet. Hallelujah. So that's where we now come to. We enter a conversation where Jesus is at, he has been invited by, I think, one of the Pharisees in Luke 14 to his house. They are at dinner. So can we open to Luke 14, 16 to 24? And they had the person had invited him, you know, because Jesus' ministry was growing. And I believe they just wanted to get a sense of what kind of person he was. Then that's where we enter the conversation. Now, Luke 14, verse 16 to 24. It says, "But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servants came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servants said, sir, you have what you commanded has been done, and there is still room. Everyone say there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Hallelujah. So this story has particularly sat in my heart for like 2 years, and I've been just longing to share it with you guys. This particular verse. And I'm going to be talking to two people here, speaking to the house, to tell us that God has work for us to do. But also, if there's someone here in the audience, I want to tell you that God is inviting you to sit at the table with him. I want you to notice something. Number one, is a man that is throwing a great banquet. Do you know what a great banquet is? It's a great banquet. It's a big event, right? So there will be lots of food. They must have killed, you know, like dozens of cattle or whatever, right? And he invited the persons who he thought his normal, you know, people that would have RSVP'd. And they came up with the weirdest excuses. Do you know, have you ever noticed when somebody does not want to hang out with you? They come up with with terrible excuses, like I'm polishing my PS4, or like my mother is calling me, guy, your mom is dead. Do you understand? Like, they come up with the lamest excuses. I want you to see the excuses this man came up with. Number one, he said that he just bought land. Now, this banquet would have been in the evening. He said, Lord, I have bought land. I want to go and check it. Who goes to check property at night? No, tell me. Who? No one. The other one said, I have bought five oxen and I'm going to check it out. Seriously, like, you can't just wait one more day. The other one, so the first one said, please have me excused. The other one, the first two were polite. They said, please have me excused. The other one said, like, I'm married. Like, I'm married. I don't have your time. Therefore, so this story Jesus is telling, and he's telling to the Jewish audience, the primary meaning is that God, who is the man, a great man, had thrown a great banquet, right, and invited the nation of Israel to dine with him, but they rejected God. And God was like, no problem. He calls his servant, who in this case is Jesus, because Jesus, Isaiah tells us, is the suffering servant. Jesus now goes to the highways. He goes into the city. He calls people, right? That is the primary meaning. The servant goes, he calls people, and he says, Master, there is still more room. He says, go to the highways and go to the hedges. Bring every blind, lame, crippled person you can find, till this house is full. But the secondary meaning now is where it relates to us, that God has thrown this banquet and he has sent us into the world to call people to dine with him. You know, Christianity is essentially people finding food and going to tell those that are hungry, come and see what I have found. Just like the woman in John 4 who ran into her village in Samaria and said, come and see the man who has told me everything about myself. That's what evangelism is. How many of us have watched a new show, a new TV series, and you couldn't keep quiet about it? Something that you really enjoyed. You blogged about it for the entire week. You told everybody about it. You evangelized, you marketed for this movie without them even paying you. Because that is human nature. What we find beautiful, when we behold something and we find it beautiful, we can't keep quiet. We will tell the world about it. Are you with me? So that's, Jesus is inviting us. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a great banquet. And he's inviting us. And he says, come and dine with me. And we're like, oh my God, there's so much more. I have to bring my friends. I have to go and tell my family members. I have to go and tell people that there is food here. Amen. When Eva and I were getting married in 2018, because we planned our wedding for almost 1 year. And by the grace of God, as we were getting money, you know, we had a great wedding planner. And we were just giving the different vendors, you know, like when we get money for something, the hall will pay. When we get money, one of the things we secured was, when we secured the hall, we paid for that, then we secured food. And when I mean food, I mean there was water, there was soft drinks, and there was rice. Do you understand? Now, my family, I love them so much. They had a meeting. They called me and they were like, I'm not disturbing anybody. I was like, okay, what do you want to know about the wedding? And they said, have I done food? I said, yes, I've paid for it. Drinks, I said, I've paid for it. They said, what are small chops? I said, why am I giving people small chops? By the way, if you work in the wedding industry, I want you guys to reinvent this small chops thing. Come on, guys, it's 30 years now. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You guys should, see, Kome, you guys need to rethink. Is it Kome? Kome, you're in. You guys need to rethink the entire small chops package. I don't know. That's an assignment for you guys. There should be something else that can enter that thing now. Am I speaking someone's mind, please? Thank you. What was I saying? So they asked me, how about small chops, right? And I said, I don't have money for small chops. And my, God bless my Delta aunt, my worry aunt, my Isoko aunt, she was like, Nerut, because they don't know how to pronounce it. Anyway, she was like, you won't embarrass me. I was like, Mommy, I'm feeding them already. Which one is small chops again? But to be honest, you know, small chops helps, you get. But if you're a true Nigerian, you know you don't go to wedding on an empty stomach, amen? You don't go to weddings on an empty stomach. If not, you sometimes may just eat toothpick. So Eva and I said we're just going to get the essentials. So by the grace of God, you know, we had family members that now sponsored different things. We did not even do souvenirs because why will I be gifting you for coming to my wedding? So, but on that day from the... please, I'm not giving so... Am I giving so what ideas? Come on. Do you know, I love our generation because you guys don't do what you don't have strength to do. Do you understand? I was like, why am I gifting you for coming to my wedding? Do you understand? Like, if you wanted, like, you don't sponsor any parts. Some did, eventually. But from where we were sitting, we were just seeing souvenirs. Pass on, like, okay. We're seeing our pic. Later, we're seeing our pictures on jotters and everything. Anyway. We invested in the food because we knew we had friends from YWAP, from Eva's father's side, mother's side, my father's side, mother. We have a large family, so, and I'm the first born, Eva is the last born. It was going to be a big wedding. So we made sure we invested in food. But one of the things that surprised us was when someone said he did not get food, and I was like, what? That's not possible. Like, we paid enough. And one of my guys came and was like, oh, more, Jesse, your wedding may say, I chopped full plenty. Like, food plenty. I chopped 3 times. And I was like, my uncle is saying he did not get food. And my guy is saying he ate 3 times. And I asked my uncle why. He said, no, he just thought, you know, we Northerners, we have this humility about ourselves, and we are proud of our humility, you know. So we don't like to shout for people, hey, bring food here. We are really nice and humble people. So he said he refused to call them. But it really kept me thinking, I know there was food. I know there was food. We had how many caterers? One, two, three. La ila. So we had three, like, I know there was food. So it was really shocking to hear that someone did not get food, because that was one of the things we invested in. Do you understand? Because we wanted all our family and friends that were coming from afar to not live on an empty stomach. And you guys know how painful it is. You leave your house, you dress up, and if you're a lady, you spend time, you call your makeup artist. Do you understand? She comes late. You are rushing. Do you understand? Sometimes your 6-inch will cut, like different things. Then you now go to the wedding. You spray, then food no reach your side. God, it's very painful. I prophesy over you that there'll be food enough at your wedding in Jesus' name. Amen. But here's the thing. I was just trying to make a point about how I believe that there was so much. Do you understand? And just like my uncle who was saying he didn't get at all, or like my friend who was enjoying so much, like according to him, he said he ate 3 times. Now, the Lord is saying, according to this passage, that just as he has said to us that if we hunger and thirst, that we will be satisfied. So this satisfaction that we found, we are not supposed to just keep quiet. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are supposed to go out and tell people, hey, I know you are hungry as well. Come and find food here. Because God has thrown a great banquet. He has thrown a great party. And he has invited many, not some. Many. Everybody say it with me. Many. Because Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is for everyone. We're not supposed to hide Jesus. We're not supposed to hide our light. We're not supposed to dim our light. We're supposed to shine bright, inviting many to partake in his great banquet. So that's why God himself has set the table. Hallelujah. And there is much room. Everyone say it with me, much room. There is much room. Do you know when we stop evangelizing? We stop when God says it's enough. We stop when we see that heaven is full. But as far as I know, God hasn't said we should stop. He's saying that we should bring as many as we can. Hallelujah. Amen. So I pray that you, through your life, through your words, through your deeds, your life will be an invitation to dine with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That people will see how satisfied you are in Christ, and they will say, where did you find this? I want what you have. You know how there's a new restaurant in Abuja and everybody knows about it? Because all your friends, they are snapping in the bathroom of the restaurant, you know. What? Am I lying? Everybody. Now, restaurants, now their bathrooms are an experience. Am I lying? No, like the really good ones, they make their bathrooms an experience. They only do that for the filming bathrooms, though. I don't know. Guys, they don't send us. But I'll suspect my friend if he's snapping in the bathroom. Anyway, you know how there's this new place that everybody's like, because the truth is, you can eat jollof in Jevnik, but you want the experience from Jevnik is different from the one of cilantro or what's the name of that other place? Venus. Vanilla. Do you understand? That's one of the places you will snap now. Do you get what I'm saying? Many of us go to these restaurants not because you're hungry per se. You're paying for an experience. Hopefully, I'm not getting too sidetracked. But here's what I'm saying. Like, I want people to see that you're enjoying Christ so much. Many Christians are dimming their light. Many of us are not showing that we... that we found Christ and we are in love with him and that we are satisfied in him, that we have found contentment in him.
The master said to the servant, compel them. You know what it means? The Greek word used here is anakazo. And it means to urge them, to constrain them, to compel them to come. Say, hey, I know you need food. I know you need healing. I know you need clothing. I'm compelling you. I'm urging you to come and find the bread of life. Because when you eat of this and when you drink of this, you will never thirst again. During Pray Forward, I thought this. I said, how many of us know this Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of need? So at the bottom is physiological need, right? We need what? Food, shelter, clothing, right? And because I think he's a psychologist and economist, so he created this hierarchy of needs that people use. But I added one. I said at the bottom, what Abraham Maslow doesn't recognize is that human beings, we have a spiritual need. Solomon says that God has set eternity in man's heart. So man is constantly looking for God. But we find it, we try to look for God in different things. In sex, in drugs, in things we buy, in items we buy, in different things. And we try and get more and more and more. So we think another dollar is going to help your spirit, your inner needs. No, it won't. You think another woman is going to help satisfy you. No, it won't. You think the next high you take is going to fulfill you. No, it won't. Because we will keep on chasing this thing, not knowing that what you need is God himself. Amen. So God has set eternity in man's heart. And only God, who is eternal, the only eternal being, can occupy that space. So we'll continue chasing money, power, sex, and all these other things that Maslow outlined. We'll continue chasing these things and we'll keep finding out that no person or nothing can satisfy us. Hallelujah. So we were beggars that have found food, that are telling other people where the bread of life is. That's what the gospel is. Hallelujah. That we were hungry, we found the bread of life, we were thirsty, we found the water of life, and we're calling others like the Samaritan woman, who is probably the first evangelist recorded. We're going into the world and say, come and see the man who has fed me. Come and see the person who satisfies my soul. That's what telling people about Jesus is. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, the tribe. In this case, we are the servant. And God is calling us to prepare the table because he has fed us. Hallelujah. That's why there is a table. Next week, we are going to be taking communion. And we are going to be celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's the assignment I want to give us. I want you, because we are preparing a very special worship experience, I want you to invite that one friend you know that doesn't know Jesus yet, that doesn't go to church, that is still, you know, shaky on religion. Just say, hey, we're having a special Issa worship event. I'm inviting you to come and partake of it. And this week, I want you to preach to people. Tell as many as you can about the joy you found in Christ. Hallelujah. Tell as many people as you can. That's the invitation I'm giving you. That's the assignment I'm giving us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So tribe, God has called us to. This is what the Lord has called us to. And we must fulfill it. Hallelujah. We must enter. Everybody must enter the kingdom. See,
until God says there is enough, until the house is full. And the vision John has in Revelation is a multitude of people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Glory to God. So unless the Lord says it's enough, unless the Lord says we are done, then the work is not yet done. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you just bow your heads and just pray about what you've heard this morning? Just pray about everything you've heard this morning. Here's the first prayer point I want you to just say, Lord, I want you to tell me how I can partake of your move. How, Lord, what is my purpose here? And then, Lord, how can I be a part of this move, of this ministry of reconciliation? Ask the Lord, what is your place in the gospel? Just ask the Lord, what's your place? Just ask the Lord, what is my place in propagating the gospel? In Jesus' name we pray.
Now, bless your name. Thank you, Abba Father, for what you've done and what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty and glorious name, we pray.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Anybody blessed this morning? Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.